has a place in my heart.
The sweet sounds of Yusuf, Cat Stevens, with All Kinds of Roses. So as promised, we have Molly Kabler. I am so thrilled to have Molly Kabler sitting here with me right at this moment for a pop-up garden show. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. It's fabulous to be here on the Cindy Good Day Show for a pop-up garden show. We've been having a pretty good time this spring. You never know quite when we're going to pop in and talk about gardening, and it's really helped it be creative. So I'm delighted that you're willing, and we wanted to talk a lot about the kind of gardening that you do in particular.
That's so great. Yeah, thanks for coming on board. I've learned most of my local gardening through you and listening to your garden show. So it's a joy to have you here on this fine morning. And the kind of gardening that I do, partly because I have to, actually mostly because I have to, is garden boxes, so containers. So that's the way that we do our gardening. And we mix in vegetables with the pretty flower things. Although I got to say, it has been so hard to find a song about spinach or chard or green beans. This morning I've been doing shows on garden, quote, and it's been hilarious.
It's been like, fabulous.
I cannot find songs on spinach, chard, or green, but that's what I grow, mostly vegetables. I mix some flowers in. But yeah, just the concept of growing a garden in containers.
Right. So why, you say you have to. Why do you have to?
I don't have any yard.
Yeah. So it's super simple. I mean, there could be any number of barriers to why you garden the way you do. And then you just turn those into opportunities instead of barriers. So a classic reason people garden in containers is that they don't have a yard, or they don't own the property where they live. And so they don't want to invest in it, but they still want a garden, or they need it to be portable because they might be moving. So there's lots of great reasons to do container or deck box type gardening.
Yeah, or they might live on a boat. I think that was my first experience with garden boxes, was I was out on a boat when I first came to town. And we were far, far away from town, but we had lettuce because Judy and Alan had lined the rails of their boat with garden boxes and lashed them on. And sure enough, there were lettuces growing, popping out everywhere. So we had this divine fresh lettuce salad out in the middle of nowhere. So that's a great reason too.
Some people have a yard. It's a perfect reason. Some people have a yard and they have a regular garden, but they still want to do container gardening or deck boxes because the plants are up out of the harm's way of slugs, for example. So I have specific things that the slugs just target them. And so those are ideal things to grow in a garden box as well. And I think especially salads and herbs that you want to just be able to pick and go for it. If you've got to go down in the garden and pull them, it's going to just take a little bit more work and oftentimes a little bit more energy to work through and find all those small slugs that are down there trying to taste your salad in advance of your tasting it. But
That's
so
true.
When it's in the deck or a deck box, fabulous. You're pretty good to go.
It's true. It's nice too, because I know a lot of my friends fight slugs like wild. And for me, I don't, because I try and start all of my plants inside. And when I do actually buy starts, I will be really careful about the ones that I get, and I watch them close. And if I see any sign of slugs, I'm out there with my headlamp, you know, first thing in the morning or late at night, pulling them. And they do pretty well. But I can control the slugs because I don't have this massive lawn with slugs coming in from everywhere. So I like that too, because it's less work for me.
So there's so many great reasons why. And then I think the other thing that, you know, for a long time, people didn't really think about the idea that vegetables, you grow vegetables on your deck or in containers. Certainly raised beds. We think raised beds when we think vegetables. But, you know, you don't have a yard, so you still want vegetables.
Right, exactly. And so the container boxes that we've built are made out of cedar.
Great.
And though I know cedar, when you mill it, you can breathe the dust in, and that's a problem. I think just having cedar boxes is okay. And so we've gone back and forth with how to. But we went for the cedar boxes, and they're large, and I can just fill them with beets and chard. Those are some favorites. And the kale, just love the kale, and lettuce. And, you know, one year I ordered some chard, but I swear they just got the seeds mixed up because that whole field was bok choy. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to learn how to use bok choy. But what I've learned is over the years, there's volunteer bok choy every year now scattered through my beds because of that year of the mix up of the seeds. And the slugs love the bok choy, and everything else is just like growing happily. So when I do have a slug infestation, I know it because the bok choy is getting holy, and they're kind of my heroes, bok choy heroes. I love them.
Yeah, so they're sort of sacrificial. I mean, yeah, they're helping you, you know, grow the other things that you really are intending to grow and eat. So that's all right.
I know. I love those. Oh, I do love the bok choy. Yeah. Yeah. That's been a really, really helpful piece. And carrots, I have not had as much luck with. Not sure why, but I kind of gave up on them just because they were kind of piddly.
So I think that's great information for folks that it's that, you know, you're a pretty accomplished deck gardener. I mean, this is the thing that you've done year over year, and you compare one year to the next, like what's working, what isn't working. You know what you like. That's mm-hmm. number one. But it's interesting. Carrots, I think, are harder to grow than people let on sometimes. So, one, feel good about that.
Good.
And two, I think they when they're germinating, they're really sensitive to moisture. And so boxes tend to dry out faster than the ground, mm-hmm. especially here. So that may be part of it. And then the other thing is they really need that deep, loose soil. And it's harder to provide just a big volume of soil in a deck mm-hmm. box.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know. I've never tried to grow carrots in a container, certainly in a raised bed. And they like a lot of sun. But then they, right when they're really small, they really need that moisture too. So yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned the drainage thing. I know early on, I still don't really know what I'm doing, honestly, but I didn't know anything when I first started. And what I tried to do was I tried to make the soil for the boxes, and I used local sand. And so that was not good drainage. I had mud pie. It was like caked mud pie, and it was terrible. And so I got rid of all that, and I went and bought the sand from Daryl, and then I had perfect soil. But that drainage issue that you're talking about, you know, I do sense that my soil, the nutrients get rained out
yes.
very, very quickly. And I have good drainage now because I've learned that bad drainage does not work. But I've noticed that I have to really figure the nutrition piece out. And that's one question I have for you is that, like, I can tell where I get the herring eggs in each year. I can tell if I can't make it across all of my beds. It's like, oh, this bed had the herring eggs. There, it's rocking. And this bed is hurting. But I'll use compost. And I put it kind of deep. But then I think it just rains. Like, it doesn't come up, right? I mean, can nutrients go up? Why do I put it deep in the soil other than I don't want the ravens to come and eat it?
Right. So you're right, it can't come up unless there's something stirring it, which if you have worms, which you don't usually have much for worms in a deck box, I mean, that's just not an environment they do well.
Yeah.
So yeah, they don't come up much. For compost and things like your herring, you can't have it on the top because the birds will come. It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. So you do have to put it down a little deeper, and the plants will find it.
Yeah.
I mean, they get it because they'll send their roots right down to it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But you're exactly right. When you have that contained amount of soil, you really have to continue to boost it every year because the plants can't send their roots out and beyond, you know, they are very contained. And so mm-hmm. they're going to deplete the nutrients in that soil every season. So I grow a few things on my deck in pots for a lot of the same reasons. Not much for vegetables, but I do like herbs on my deck. And I almost always just put that soil, if it's a fairly small volume, into my compost at the end of the season. I don't even plan to reuse it. I sort of recycle it so that it has more nutrition. And compost offers all the micro nutrients and microorganisms that make for a rich soil. So adding compost is really good, even though it's not a lot of nitrogen, which that's usually the component that your plants are taking out of the soil. And that's what the herring row really gives you. So if you can figure out nitrogen-rich things to add to your soil. And you probably have enough volume that you're not going to dump your soil out. It's way too precious. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to go through the hard work of digging it out. And then what do you do with it? You don't have a yard, you know. So you just need to realize you have to keep building it up. And it's the same for folks who garden in greenhouses because they don't move their whole greenhouse bed in and out. Mm-hmm. So that's the one where both of us have to really pay attention to that. So some of the good solutions are brewery waste, if you get a hold can get a hold of that. Mm-hmm. The animal manures are really good, especially if you can get local. Rabbit you can put right on, mm-hmm. even if you have plants in there. Chicken, turkey, some of the other ones, you need to either do it really early and let your bed set for, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. Or make sure you put it at the bottom and let it be down there getting not so hot so that when your plants actually reach their roots down, they'll find that nutrition.
So you would use those elements 3 weeks before planting your bed. Is that right?
Yeah. Rabbit you can put on right away. Okay. Rabbit manure is something magical. So for a container person, that would be great because you don't have to worry about it.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So if you can't get your herring eggs on row, then that would be your next piece. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any herring row this year. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much in town, and I didn't get the opportunity to get out beyond that and go for it. So I had to come up with something else too, and I used local animal manure. I asked friends who had local animals and put that in. In the past, I've used brewery waste, and that was great. Coffee grounds are pretty good as well. They tend to be acid, so you need to add lime. Yeah. But it's going to be a constant. And then the other thing that happens to soil in containers is the organic part of your soil also is going away because it's being used by the plants. So you're constantly needing to add that back. And it doesn't have to be all nutrient dense. It just needs to be organic. So that would be seaweeds, grass clippings, compost that's mostly made of all that organic stuff. So those are the things that are going to help you. Traditionally, people garden using peat moss. That's an old school thing. And we have for several years been talking about not encouraging people to use peat moss. It's not a renewable resource. It's also really acid. And we don't need more acid in our soils. Mm-hmm. So peat moss holds moisture, but it doesn't add much nutrition.
That's good to know. I think somewhere along the route, I just heard the 1-2-3, where you do a third of what I get volcanic ash here and a third of compost and then a third of sand. And that's kind of been my go-to ingredient list, and that's been working. But you're right, I have to boost it. And I know that I have to boost it again. This year is looking rather bleak compared to last year's. I've taken done the fish thing, but the ravens love that. They just dig the fish heads right back out and take off with them and rip. They took out my whole beet, all of my beets.
Yeah.
And they just took them. So I ran string back and forth over the garden this year, and I added little aluminum foils.
Perfect. Did it work?
Oh, yeah. It worked like a charm.
Nice.
Yeah, they didn't want anything to do with that. And they come talk to me. They know me. They see, you know, the minute I start planting in the spring, they land all over, and they're watching me, and they're cocking. They're just like, oh, we see what you're doing. We're here to have some. And they... So the year they ripped up the rhubarb, it was this beautiful rhubarb. And I heard you had to really boost rhubarb. So I put some heads in there, and I loved that. That was just a big buffet. So the next year I took the heads and put them in a blender with water. And I blended them up and got the skin caught in the rotor and blew out the blender. That was great. And then I poured that on there and covered that with dirt. And that was the key.
Yeah.
They could do nothing with the milkshake. The raw fish milkshake.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, I think, so your sand and your third, I think that's exactly right for starting, but your sand and your ash are not going away. So your organic part, whatever you're choosing, that is going away because it decomposes. Mm-hmm. So you probably don't need to add a third of sand and a third of soil every year now.
Yeah.
What you probably need is almost all organic and nitrogen rich.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And that's what I do because now that it's built, that's my base. So now I just mix in as much seaweed, herring eggs if you can get them. But yeah. Now I'm going to add the rabbit and the chicken. And that's a really great piece. And then what about the, you know, the little cans of fish emulsion? You can get a 511 or a...
Oh, like a fish food thing?
Yeah. Do you use that?
So when I'm doing a container, so mine are small compared to what you're doing. So I already mentioned I'm building the soil from scratch each time. If it's flowers, I use a commercial product called Osmocote, which is a pelleted fertilizer that's going to release, slow release, so all this long season that it's going to keep coming out. I don't tend to use a commercial fish fertilizer. There's no reason not to. It's fine. Just it's something that's produced and you buy it and, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a good choice, I think, because it's an organic material. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great choice if you want to water something in. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to do it myself. I use compost now. I didn't used to use compost in even just my small pots because I find that potting soil is clean, but it's not the most nutritious always. And the plants do much better if they have that jolt of all the micronutrients and microorganisms that come in from compost.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And do you feel like it's critical that your compost is down to a fine powder? I mean, I have like chunks of eggs and chunks of things in.
Always have chunks. Oh, I always have chunks. And if my compost isn't well done, I'll put it in earlier in the year. In fact, I'll dig back a lot of my dirt in my garden bed. I'll put in a bunch of unfinished compost, cover it up, and just let the garden finish it, because the garden will finish it faster than the compost pile will. And there's nothing wrong with those chunks of egg shell and pits of whatever. Those are fine.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I don't think that's... I mean, if it's so gooey that it's still decomposing rapidly, that burns a tender plant. So that's why you're waiting to make sure it's kind of done. But if most of it is good, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, that's good to know, because there are times where I'm like, well, that's good enough. I think,
absolutely.
Oh, I hope I'm not creating a problem here.
I don't think so.
That's good. And then I was wondering, too, about with the rain, raining out the nutrients every year. You know, the winters come and I don't cover my beds. I'm a little leery of using plastic to cover my beds, just because I think on the sunny days, this is maybe my own crazy thinking, but I just get afraid that plastic is like, I don't know, emanating some kind of bad juju into my soil. But do you feel like that is something I should rethink? Like, get a covering. I could get glass. I could use wood. But you feel like that's be a critical element to cover the soil through the rains of winter and fall? And
I've done it both ways, and I felt good about when I buttoned up my bed and stapled that recycled plastic that I got from the lumber yard or whatever over my bed, and I just thought, all right, you're all tucked up for the winter, right? But if it's completely dry, you are also sacrificing that beautiful part of the soil that's all those microorganisms. So they're going to dry out completely as well, and you have to sort of start over. So in some ways, some rain getting in there is actually good. So we'd have to do the science experiment to really know what the absolute right one is. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have the resources to just replenish, I think you're probably going to do great with letting it open.
Yeah.
I tend to try and cover mine up, my raised beds in my yard, because of animals. I don't want the animals in there. Mm-hmm. And then the plastic will, the other good thing about plastic is that it does solarize. So what happens is it superheats up that soil, and a lot of times the weed seeds will then germinate early, yeah, and you can clear those all off. Then you take your plastic off and you're good to go for your garden bed. So there's pluses and minuses to the plastic. It's not very appealing to look at. That's right. The other problem, you
right.
know? I mean,
yeah.
A winter layer of snow on your garden beds that have a few leftover sticks are kind of charming, and, you know, that plastic out there isn't really appealing to look at.
True.
So it's like all these things we weigh. Do you use Rime on your garden beds?
No, I haven't done that. I've been going the wild way. And, you know, in the spring, like you said, when sometimes in the winter, even through the snow, there's kale popping through. It's just so tough.
Yes.
And I've been, you know, eating kale in March. I'm eating still kale that's good, and I haven't covered it. I've just, it's out there.
Yeah.
So that's been really a nice I don't know, it just makes you feel like, yeah, we made it through the winter together and we're still going, you know.
Absolutely.
It's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, and if you covered with plastic, I suspect you would have less of your little chards, or no, it was
bok choy's
coming. Mm, you know, that would probably be the end of that little solution that you're having to your slugs and, you know.
I don't want to kill my heroes.
Yeah, those your heroes are helping you.
Oh, I love those guys. You know, the other thing I like is how creative you can get with container beds. And this year I got
so what you growing? Tell me.
Well, in the flower department, I found a tall teapot that I just opened the lid to, this big metal teapot. And so I'm growing this really pretty flower popping out of the teapot. I just like that. I get a kick out of it. And then at the spout, I have some dirt in there and I just put some little wildflower seeds in there just to see what might, you know, come. And then I have, back when I was a kid, I loved holding the gas funnel for my dad when he'd fill up the tank in our little skiff. And so that was one of my favorite jobs. I have that funnel. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? Well, I stuck it in another container and I filled it with dirt and planted some flowers in that funnel. So that's just fun. It's a great memory. I look out there, I think of my dad and holding the gas funnel. And you know, it's just a sweet way to kind of incorporate your special treasures into your garden. I know a lot of people use boots and drill out holes in the bottom of somebody's special's boots and they have those growing. And so I really like the creative element. But I just have kind of the classic flowers, and then I'm doing some chard and some kale, and I just have my regulars that I just know. I started a new spinach this year. It's called Auric. Have you heard of that?
Uh-huh.
O-R-A-C-H? Mm-hmm. Of course you have heard of that. I'd never heard of it before. I just always went for like the spinaches that I just knew.
Right.
But it's doing really well. It's beautiful. What do you know
Is
about
it kind of the thicker? It's the New Zealand, what they call the New Zealand spinach.
Yeah, and it's three times the vitamin C and whatever. So,
yeah, I think it's always worth trying something new every year.
Yeah.
Because you don't know until you try it. And I've tried things that are like, they super flop. But then I try things that people would be like, this is never going to go. And it turns out to be fantastic. So it's always kind of nice to do something a little edgy and find out whether you like it, whether it's just the thing. One of the things I did that like that, I grew daikon, you know, those really big Japanese roots. And I thought, well, this is kind of crazy. I've never heard of anybody growing these here.
Yeah.
They grew fantastically.
Wow.
And I loved them.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a crazy wild hair.
That is a good one. How big did they get?
They got huge, like a foot long.
Oh, my gosh. And then you use them like a jicama. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
They're good if they're not too big. They're good just fresh, and they're really great in stir fries and salads and everything else.
How
so
fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So I saw you at the garden store buying some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your favorites?
Well, I love lobelia. I think those are really fun and beautiful. I did some snapdragons. I told Penny this, but I did not do well with my snapdragons. I don't know. What's the trick with snapdragons? Everybody else is like, oh, they're so easy. Not for me. What is it, energy? Is it just my energy I'm putting out? I'm not a snapdragon gal?
I'm not sure.
Ugh, I don't know. It's a little odd one. Calendulas, that's a good one.
Yeah, I love calendulas.
Those are good. Creeping Jennies, I just like what they do. Of course, nasturtiums, you know, I can't help but love those. And I love to eat those and put them in the salads. So I'm a big nasturtium fan. Hotcakes. I bought hotcakes this year. I don't even know what that is. I wrote it on my little list because I keep a little garden journal every year because I cannot remember from year to year what I've done. But something called hotcakes.
Wow, I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, hotcakes.
Because I don't know what that is. It's a varietal name, I'm thinking.
Uh-huh. I know. It needs sun. I know that. I put a little sunshine symbol by it.
Well, great.
Yeah. So, and begonias, I do love those. And then, yeah, I think those were my main ones. I got rosemary this year just because I've never had it, and I eat it all the time. I love to put it into everything. So like you were saying, just the convenience of walking out the door, grabbing your rosemary, and going back in and putting your potatoes is pretty darn sweet.
It is. To that end, I put parsley in my two sconces that I have on my deck.
Nice.
So they hang on the wall, and they're really flowers. I have never grown any food in them before, and I had some extra parsley, and I thought, oh, parsley is just beautiful green if I don't ever even eat it. because I have quite a bit of it elsewhere. I love fresh parsley and salads and stuff. But it's looking good in my flowers. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of those herbs that you could tuck in and have a taste of here and there that really enhance what you're doing on your containers.
For sure. Like I had a dill forest one year. I didn't do dill this year, but I should have. I had a whole forest of dill. And what a beautiful flower. I mean, I'm just like a... it's like a lacy, flaky. I just love the look of it. It just made my garden happy.
Yes. And that, and when your garden is happy, then you're happy.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
So do you focus any on the scented? Do you buy things that have scent? Because you have pretty good access to get your nose right down to your garden beds because they're right there on your deck.
Yeah, that's really true. Trying to think what I do that's scented. For a while in my old wheelbarrow, I had all of my herbs. And so I had the rosemary and the sage, and that was all going strong. But this year, I don't think I do have a lot of scents.
Okay.
I always have a fuchsia, and that always puts a little something out. But I'm trying to think if I do. I'm not sure that I do. I always, I do the local flowers. I have the lupins and fireweed. I like putting the wild in there. So that always gives me that first breath of summer when those pop out. I'm like, oh, I know that smell. So those are always go-tos, and they're always in there. But nothing new this year in the smell department. What's your favorite?
Well, I put stock, and that's a plant that a lot of people don't know. It's a really old-fashioned flower. It's just called S-T-O-C-K, stock. I mean, it's like, what is stock? Well, our grandmothers probably all knew about stock.
It was their nasturtium, maybe.
Probably so. And it's and it comes, I just buy mine. I start. And tuck those in because they're really sort of a spicy fragrant. And I don't put them down in my garden because I won't get my nose down there. Mm-hmm. But I have them in my beds. And then my deck containers. Mm-hmm. And then the other crazy thing is, to me, the orange violas and the orange pansies are the one that have the most scent.
Hmm.
And so I always grow those.
Ah, that's good to know.
And they're awfully cheery and bright.
They
can kind of clash. You got to choose carefully your colors if that matters to you. But they have the best smell to me. So those are the ones that I have this time. Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about the stock. Like, what's the flower look like?
So the flower looks kind of just, they come in singles and doubles, what they call singles. And the singles are very boring. They just look like a little wild mustard type flower, four petal flower. Mm-hmm. But they've been selected. So the double ones are a little more frilly, and they come in white, lavender, and kind of a magenta, and they grow 6 to 12 inches tall, and they have sort of nondescript grayish leaves. So the plant themselves are not a stunning beauty. So you just put them in with other things, and it's the scent you're looking for from the stock.
That's good. That's going to be my little special 2018. It's the stock flower.
All right.
I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, Molly, it's a pleasure to be with you, as always. Is there anything else you want to add to our container thinking garden pop-up show?
I think we've covered a great amount of material, and it's been just my complete pleasure to be in on this show with you. Thanks for having the pop-up garden show on your Wednesday Good Day show, Cindy B.
I love it. You just got to keep things hopping and moving, that's for sure. And you are a delight. Thanks for all your wisdom poured upon us day after day. And on we go.
Yep, we'll all keep gardening.
Thank you, Molly Kabler, with a Good Day pop-up garden show on this Wednesday.